This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith about the local crop walk for Church World Service. Our guests today are Esther Portnoy, who's the local event coordinator, and Kurt Wilson, who's the treasurer. Welcome.
Good to be here.
So tell us quickly, what is CROP and what is Church World Service?
Well, CROP is the major fundraiser for Church World Service. CROP Walk is a walk-a-thon. We enlist walkers who then sign up sponsors. We have a six-mile walk. Hope this year to raise $26,000 from the walk sponsors. Church World Service is a cooperative ministry of 36 Protestant, Orthodox, Anglican denominations. They work to eradicate hunger and poverty. There are projects in some 80 countries, including, incidentally, the United States.
And the money that's raised, some of it stays locally.
Right. 25% of the money that we raised stays locally to fund the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, the Time Center, and the St. Jude Catholic Worker House.
The Time Center, for those who don't know, provides services for people who are homeless, in transition, that sort
of
thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the Catholic Worker House provides hot meals.
Mm-hmm. Now, each of you come from different backgrounds. You're volunteers doing this. Kurt, you're a biochemist in your career, working for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in agronomy. So your profession sort of dealt with food production. Is that correct?
Well, I was a laboratory worker, so yeah, I can't say. But I was aware of the nutritional values of the food that we produce, and also would keep up with the production problems that are so common in third world countries.
And Esther, your profession was as a professor of math here at the university. How many years were you at the U of I?
26 years, and maybe somewhat more than that.
And retired how long now?
I've retired almost 2 years.
2 years. And what does the background in math bring you to this kind of concern?
Oh, I don't know that it does. probably I come to this more from the upbringing that I had, the example of my parents in being involved in helping.
So what kind of upbringing did you have?
I'm Lutheran. Mm-hmm. I have always been Lutheran. I went to a Lutheran parochial school.
Where?
In Dearborn, Michigan.
Uh-huh. And how'd you get from Michigan to Champaign-Urbana?
Oh, long way around. Moved around a bit in high school, graduated from high school in Connecticut, went first to Boston University, met my husband in the Boston area. We moved out to Stanford, and from Stanford, from the West Coast back to the East Coast, and then here for a job, basically.
Uh-huh. And your husband is also a mathematician?
He's a statistician.
Statistician. Ah, there's a difference.
Yes, there's a difference.
Okay. Now, Each of you are volunteers working with this project to raise money locally for some local projects, but also concerns worldwide. Kurt, what motivated you to get involved in this?
Well, I've always had church work as my major volunteer work, as well as the fact that, what are we supposed to do to follow Jesus? The question, when did I feed you? When did I give you water? And the answer, when you help the least of these. Mm-hmm. So that's always in the background. We actually got started. We coordinated the Peoria Crop Walk the last year that I spent over there. I had a brief period working in Peoria, and we were sort of without a church, and somebody latched onto us and got us to help with a crop walk over there, and then we moved back here, and we're involved in starting the crop walk in 1992 in Champaign-Urbana.
So it's been going on here locally since 92.
Yes.
each year. It's a once-a-year event.
Right.
And how can people contribute?
Well, there are several ways. If they are belong to a church that is participating in this, and that's where we recruit is in the churches. They can find out who their local coordinator, recruiter is, sign up to walk or sign up to pledge money for one of the walkers. They can go on to the Church World Service website, and I believe you can contribute online. I meant to try that myself this past week, and I neglected to do that. The website is www.churchworldservice, with no punctuation in that, .org. I believe if the online contribution thing is not what you want to do, there are addresses and phone numbers there that you could get in touch with people. We also have a website new this year for our local crop walk, and that address is www.cu-cropwalk.org. We're not set up to accept contributions through that site, but there are some contact numbers and so on there.
So if people would like to walk or learn how to contribute, they can go to that website, cu-cropwalk.org, and they can contribute, you think, with the national website, which is churchworldservice.org. And is there a phone number people could call if they're interested in finding out more locally?
We had that. I don't have it written down.
But there is an 800 number,
that's probably,
right?
Yeah.
Well, a local number?
Well, is there an 800 number for the national?
There's a 1-888, and then I just have the letters, CWSCROP.
Okay, so that stands for Church World Service Crop. It's 1-888-CWSCROP. Okay. Now, Kurt, you and your wife Janice have been concerned about local poverty and hunger for many years, and not only Crop Walk, but you've been involved, I know, in particularly Janice, in organizing the soup that was brought for many years to McKinley Church, where I served for a while when the homeless shelter was there for homeless men, and then after the Time Center was built, continuing there. You see where where this money goes too, don't you? Because of those kind of involvements?
Yes, that is quite helpful to us to keep up our morale, and that we see that the money is being spent well. We see the results in front of us. That's one of the reasons why the Crop Walk allows up to 25% to stay locally, so that people can see where it is going.
Hmm. And yet the money that goes around the world, you have confidence about that also because of a trip you and your wife took 15 years or so ago, right?
Yeah, about 5 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, five years.
Yes. We went with a half a dozen other people who were actively involved in Crop and Church World Service to India. Now, the thing is that Church World Service does not have very many people in places around the world. They make alliances with the local church community they take our money and spend it wisely there. So we learned what was going on in India. They have an organization called CASA, Churches Alliance for Social Action. And there are a number of Indian churches that are joined in that. We thought it rather interesting. The director, who was about ready to retire, had been a major in the supply service of the Indian Army. And he began to notice that when the Army got to a disaster site, and they're always having disasters someplace in India, the Church World or CASA people were there before the Army got there, ready to go. And he took early retirement and became director of CASA to help them organize. They have warehouse sites around the country loaded with the things that they need, not what we think they need, but what they need. We supply the money, and there are a couple of organizations in Germany and the Netherlands that also help. In fact, we were supposed to be shown around by one of the regional directors, and he was busy with earthquake relief at the time we were there.
Esther, tell us where some of the other war money goes around the world.
Okay, actually, I was going to point out, if you go onto this website of the Church World Service, every Monday they put up something called a hotline that tells you what's going on this week. The week of March 13th, which some folks here probably remember very keenly, the first item on their list was the U.S. tornadoes, Missouri, Illinois, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. Mm. So they were involved. As I said, Church World Service is involved in various things in the United States. That was the first thing they noted that week. They went then to Kenya, where there is a very serious drought, and that's been in the news. In Pakistan, my recollection is the earthquake hit there on October 8th, and I think the Church World Service partners were there on the 9th with help of various sorts. They're there with emergency help immediately after a disaster. They're also there in the long term for development to help people recover from these disasters and to help people in more fundamental ways. The fourth item on the week of March 18th hotline was in Colombia, and my guess is this is something people have not heard about in the news. There's a community of Afro-Colombian women who are in acute poverty, and the Church World Service is trying to help them in various ways to improve their situation. Not a specific crisis disaster, something like that, but an ongoing situation that needs addressing. The week of March 20th, then, the U.S. tornadoes got into second place that day. March 22nd was World Day for Water, and they highlighted several water projects. There were mentions of Iraq and the Philippines, which had the mudslide in February. And they're also working on Hurricane Katrina. I don't see any mention here of the tsunami, which was 15 months ago today, right? Church World Service is there and will be there for a number of years.
One of the things that's always impressed me about Church World Service and the money that's raised through the various crop walks and other ways is that they also fight some of the root causes of poverty and hunger around the world. And the water example you gave is a great example of that. On Keeping the Faith today, we're talking about Church World Service and the crop walk, which will be taking place next Sunday. That's April 2nd. We're talking with Esther Portnoy, who is the local event coordinator, and with Kurt Wilson, who's the treasurer for the local group. Church World Service is a project that was started originally with the National Council of Churches. It involves 36 different Protestant denominations, Orthodox Church, Anglican, and fighting hunger and poverty around the world and raising money to help do that. This is a live program every Sunday afternoon here on WILL, AM 580, and we welcome callers. If you've been listening and have a question or a comment, would like to join this conversation, do call us. The number anywhere you can hear us that you may use toll-free is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. And that includes people who are listening on the Internet. This program is broadcast on the Internet, and you can hear it at WILL.UIUC.edu. Punch in AM 580, and previous programs are archived there. If you'd like to listen to something perhaps you missed completely or just heard part of, you can go there and hear those programs at your convenience via your computer. So do call us at 1-800-222-9455. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, there are several local lines you can use. 333-9455. We'll put you on the air with our guest today. Well, we're talking about crop and poverty and hunger. And Kurt, you mentioned earlier the quotation from Matthew 25, where Jesus was talking about what you do for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do unto me. And that's Matthew 25 is often quoted by mainline Protestants. You, I know, are United Church of Christ, so you fit in that category. I was reading this week in the American Scholar, the journal of the Phi Beta Kappa Society, the current issue for spring, an article by Marilyn Robinson, whose novel last year, Gilead, won the Pulitzer Prize and also the National Book Critics Circle Award. And she's writing from a Christian perspective and talking about how faith for her isn't about piety or personal salvation, but about helping those in need. And she also quoted from Matthew 25 in that article, American Scholar. Now, the American Scholar is not known for dealing with serious religious topics very often. But here, Marilyn Robinson, in her article, tries to talk about liberal Christianity, progressive Christianity, and sort of defend it because she feels that central to the Christian theology is helping people in need. And I take it that's what partly has motivated you folks to be involved in this kind of thing.
Definitely.
Definitely. Well, talk a little bit about that. How does this fit with your faith?
Well, I think our faith is our expression of how we relate to God, and it's one of the things that makes a human race different from animals. As a scientist, I'm a member of the American Association for Advancement of Science, Get Science magazine, and there are increasing numbers of articles in which they are trying to find out why are people altruistic, and some animals, but more so with humans. What is there in our genes, not just our social upbringing, but in our genes that make us altruistic, wanting to help people who won't necessarily help us? And I think we find that at the essence of that in our Christian faith.
I think it's important to remember, though, that this isn't unique to Christianity. It's not even unique to faith. Being in a university campus, we run into people who are thoroughly secular, in no way acknowledge the existence of God, and yet do reach out and help their neighbors. I'm not quite sure why, but I guess I would say my faith certainly bolsters that, partly because so often the task seems so daunting. Hmm. It's nice to see results sometimes, but sometimes the results are hard to come by, and I have to trust that God is working in ways that I'm not seeing, and just have to keep soldiering on.
Even when at times it's discouraging.
Yeah, we've had so many disasters in the past year: the tsunami and the hurricanes and the earthquake and the mudslides and everything. And I think people may be tending to feel sort of some compassion fatigue.
Sure.
But CROP started in the period shortly after World War II, as did a number of other relief agencies. And, I mean, you think of the problem that faced those folks then, our parents, our grandparents, having to build Hiroshima and London and Dresden and so many other places. And I don't remember their throwing up their hands and saying, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. They rolled up their sleeves and went to work.
We have a caller on one of our local lines. Let's go to line number one. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead. Yes, line number one. Looks like we've lost that caller. Well, do try us again. Maybe we kept you waiting too long. Sorry about that. Do call back. 333-9455 is the local number in Champaign-Urbana. Elsewhere, you may call toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Well, talking about why people are altruistic, and as you note well, Esther, people are often very charitable, give of themselves, share what they have with others, even if they're secular, even if they're not in any one particular religious tradition. I noticed something you said when you commented on that. You said you're not sure why someone. Do you think it's not a normal human tendency to share?
Well, it seems to be a normal human tendency.
Okay. At least for some.
Right.
We have a caller. Maybe it's the same caller. Line number one. Yes, go right ahead.
Is the CROPWALK only a Christian organization, or is there also other denominations that participate?
We have had a number of non-Christian groups participating. Sinai Temple has been a big they've sent a big group a number of years. We've had people from the Baha'i community. We're certainly open to any faith group. I guess if a person said, "I think I can help people," I think that would be faith enough for me.
Did you want to follow up on that, caller?
Do you have any? What's the goal for this year's CROPWALK?
We're hoping to raise $26,000. So that will translate into a bit over $2,000 for each of these local groups that we've mentioned. We hope to have 300 walkers, and I think there's a reasonable chance that we'll do that. We have been at that number or close the past couple of years. We'd like to have 25 groups participating. I think perhaps we're going to fall short of that goal.
If I was a group and I wanted to participate, how would I go about doing that?
Can they call you?
The group? I guess they better call me and better do it soon.
Sure.
Okay.
What's your number?
367-8853.
To reach Esther Portnoy, that's 367-8853, and that's in area 217. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your call and thank you for your interest. So a group would be what?
Well, usually they're religious, you know, faith congregations, churches, mm-hmm. temple, worshiping community. One year the WIMSE, Women in Math, Science, and Engineering, participated. I think there was, you know, one person who was interested and then signed up some of her friends to come.
Sure. And that's all that's really involved. If someone wants to walk, they can call you. They can say, "I'd like to come." They get sponsors. They
right.
sign those sponsors up who say they'll donate so much if this person
right.
walks.
Right.
And then the sponsor, the person who's walking will bring that money that day? Or how's that done?
No, we have a lot of things to do on walk day, and we would rather not deal with the money
okay.
that day. Kurt especially, I think, would rather not deal with the money that day.
Yeah.
We ask people to bring the walk sheet. It comes in several parts, and there's a top sheet that has the information on it. I brought mine along today just in case you'd like to sponsor me, Steve.
Sure.
We bring in that top sheet that day. And then about 3 weeks later, we collect the money. When you're going around signing up sponsors, it's not a bad idea to collect the money from them right then so you don't have to bother them later. But
sure.
But we don't want the money at the CROPWALK, please.
Okay. Tell me what actually happens at the CROPWALK. Where does it start? Where does it go? How long is it?
Okay. The route starting point and route vary from year to year. This year it starts at St. Peter's United Church of Christ at 2 p.m. That's Central Daylight Time, right?
Next Sunday will be
Daylight Savings
Time.
Right.
St. Peter's
United Church
of Christ
in Champaign.
Champaign.
The route is supposed to be 10 kilometers, 6 miles. We think maybe it's a little long this year. Jan Wilson walked it and said, it's a little bit long. We have provisions for people who can't make the whole route. We'll pick them up, or there are shortcuts that can be taken. We're asking groups to come to St. Peter's, send one group member, usually the recruiter for that group, to come to the registration desk with all of the top sheets, and the rest of the people assemble in the sanctuary. And we have a few starting directions, and then we'll get out and walk.
And where do you go?
Well, we will give people maps. The route wanders a bit up to Grace Lutheran Church, which is on the corner of Prospect and Springfield, mm-hmm. Then heads north on Prospect to Bloomington, I think, right, up to Garden Hills Baptist Church. I have a map here somewhere.
Okay.
And then generally south on Mattis. Again, there's some cutting around on streets back to St. Peter's.
Back to St. Peter's.
Yeah.
And there are people of all ages.
We have had babies
non-walkers.
On backpacks. They can be in strollers, in wagons. However, we emphasize it is a walk. We walk with the people around the world. No recreational wheels, no bicycles, rollerblades, et cetera. And
wheelchairs are fine.
So why
walk? We have had that.
So why walk?
Now, this is to be remind us that around the world, many people have to walk in their daily lives for many more miles than we do. In our trips in third world countries, we have seen many, usually women, it turns out, walking with bundles of wood on their heads with water, jugs, and so forth. And so we walk in solidarity with them, and we hope that some of this money being used in development work will shorten the walks that they have to take. One of the programs said, go count the number of water faucets in your house. Mm. Now, millions and millions of people have no water in their house. One of my daughters was in the Peace Corps in Southern Africa, and it was a big event for some of the villages to have one water tap in the village.
As opposed to just a shallow well somewhere, right?
Or having to walk several miles.
Yeah. So we've emphasized the fact that we're raising money for various agencies, but it's also an educational effort. And that's why we're really happy to have children participate, hoping that they can grow up in this and continue in these lines.
The Crop Walk in Champaign-Urbana will be April 2nd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, starting from St. Peter's United Church of Christ Church in Champaign. People who would like to participate can still do so. Call the event coordinator, which is one of our guests today, Esther Portnoy, 217-367-8853. People who'd like to donate online can do that at churchworldservice.org. If you'd like more information about the local Crop Walk, you can go to cu-cropwalk.org on your computer. Folks who would rather make a phone call can dial 1-888-CWS-CROP. That's CWS-CROP for more information. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. We're about halfway through our program today with our guests Esther Portnoy and Kurt Wilson, who are volunteers with the local Crop Walk, hoping to raise $26,000 next Sunday. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, on that very April 2nd day, Lee Malhado will be our guest on Keeping the Faith. She's the director of the Champaign-Urbana Jewish Federation, and we'll be talking about the Passover feast. That's on April 2nd. Bill Meyer from Twin City Bible Church will be talking about evangelical Christian social action here on April 9th. On April 16th, our guests will be Judith Valente and Charles Renard. They'll be talking about their book just published this year, 20 Poems to Nourish Your Soul. That's April 16. April 23rd, our guests will be some special guests for the program in the study of religion here at the University of Illinois. talking about the Bible, the study of the Bible in the public schools. And poet Larry Lieberman will be our guest April 30th, reading from his newest book, Carob's Leap. Those are some of the guests coming up on Keeping the Faith in the weeks ahead. If you'd like to call our program at any time we're on the air, you may do so in Champaign-Urbana by punching in 333-9455 to make a comment or ask a question. Anywhere the program is heard outside of Champaign-Urbana, there's a toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. Support for these Keeping the Faith programs is provided in part by the University YMCA at the University of Illinois, where I'm the executive director. The Y is the oldest religious institution at the University of Illinois. It was founded by students back in 1873, and since that time has been helping develop student leaders by providing opportunities for community service, social action. Probably the thing that's on my mind most this last week have been our 150 University of Illinois students who over spring break went out and did service projects around this country in groups of 12, driving off in two vans from Champaign-Urbana a week ago and going to Atlanta and South Dakota and California and Georgetown and North Carolina and New York and Watkins Glen, doing hurricane relief in Mississippi and New Orleans. We're very proud of these students who, rather than go for a wild party, sign a statement saying they will not drink alcohol or use illegal drugs, but will go and do a service project, often sleeping on a Y floor or a church floor somewhere, and then doing service projects all day for a week with other students. So we're very proud of these folks and are glad they all got back safely this weekend. The University Y is happy to support these kind of programs. We also have lectures at the Y, and coming up this week, Tuesday noon, part of our Know Your University series, David Harrington, who's one of the violinists for the Kronos Quartet, that'll be performing at Krannert Center. We'll be talking at the Y this Tuesday at noon. And Sounds from the Violin, they'll be playing and talking about what it's like to be part of the Kronos Quartet, which has been known for the last 30 years or more for its musical innovation, its unique artistic vision, and the kind of experimentation they've done in producing some fascinating music. That's the Kronos Quartet, David Harrington, this Tuesday noon at the Y. It's a free lecture. You can order lunch by calling the Y, 337-1500, before Tuesday, or you can just come and probably get a lunch anyway from our Thai restaurant. Coming up Friday on Friday Forum, continuing our series on democracy at risk, Friday noon at the Y, March 31, Larry Greenfield will be speaking on the challenge the religious right poses to democracy. Larry Greenfield is the executive minister of the American Baptist Churches of Metro Chicago, and he's the theologian in residence for Protestants for the Common Good in the state of Illinois. He'll be talking about how the Christian political right represents a serious threat to democracy. That's Friday at noon at the YMCA, 1001 South Wright Street, easy to get to by bus. About 50 buses an hour go by in front of the Y. So anywhere in the area you can get there easily. There's also parking on the streets if you want to try coming a little bit before noon. That's this Friday, March 31st, Democracy at Risk. The Y survives by people who contribute to help this charity. People can donate, for example, a car, a truck, a motorcycle, anything with a title. We sell those things ourselves, and people who donate them then can have the advantage of a tax deduction by giving to the charity of the University YMCA. We sell them often to students and are motivated to try to get a good price, but also give people a good deal. We'll be having a Jimmy for sale here soon. It has high mileage, but it's been very well kept up. Looks quite good, and it should be ready for sale in a week or two. And anybody who'd like to make a donation of a vehicle may call me, Steve Shoemaker, at the Y during the week, 337-1500. Well, let's get back to our guests for today. We're talking about Church World Service and Crop Walk. And for those who may have tuned in late, Esther, would you tell us again, what is the main focus of Church World Service?
Church World Service is the cooperative ministry of Protestant, Orthodox, and Anglican denominations. It's a spinoff, a cousin, I guess, of the National Council of Churches, and this is the arm that addresses hunger and poverty, both responding to crises, disasters, and working on long-term development to prevent, to address the root causes of poverty.
And that's true both in this country and around the world.
Yes, there are projects here in the United States and in very many countries around the world.
And tell us again the local projects.
The local projects, which will be supported by our Crop Walk, are the Time Center, basically a homeless shelter providing an array of services, the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and the St. Jude's Catholic Worker House that provides meals. There are about 2,000 crop walks throughout the country, some in the spring, I think more in the fall. And together, they provide a very large portion of the money that Church World Service uses. About a third of the money comes from Crop Walk and other public appeals.
Now, your local Crop Walk here in Champaign-Urbana next Sunday, April 2, hopes to raise $26,000, of which 25% will stay here to help these agencies you've just mentioned.
That's right.
And the food bank, the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, does provide food for many social agencies
in town. If we manage to reach our goal, that will be a little over $2,000 that we give to the food bank, and they reckon that translates into about $20,000 worth of food that they can distribute.
Sure.
So that can feed several families for quite some time.
Because the food bank uses that money to pay very little for food that's still good, but for maybe mispackaged or mislabeled.
Right. The food bank has a very large budget. I have their flyer here. It's what is it, about $6 million? Here we go. That's the wrong thing. About $6.5 million a year in total support, but a lot of that is contributed food.
Sure.
Their cash contributions from the public is only a few hundred thousand. So our $2,000 is a significant portion of that.
Now, in you talked about these 2,000 different crop walks to raise money throughout the United States. Sponsored by these 36 denominations, what's the total amount? What kind of money is raised throughout the whole country?
About $30 million in the crop walks and some other public appeal.
So it's a very significant amount of money.
Yes.
Now, Kurt, you've kind of specialized in knowing where the money goes, and you've had some examples, and even on some of your vacation trips have checked out places when you've as far away as India. What is it that impressed you the most about what you learned?
Well, I think we learned about the dedication of the younger people in India, college graduates who decided that they should help their country and they would work out in these poverty-stricken villages. And we were there when the monsoons had failed for several years. It was dry, and we wondered what the goats and things that we saw wandering around were eating, and yet the village life is going on. Church World Service was helping build dams and some of the streams, deepening wells. And we got to see some of that working and going on. They provide the money for the equipment that's needed, but the villagers also have to put in what we call sweat equity. So they, in the local villages, they were showing them how to compost kitchen waste and other things, and we could look out over some of the fields where they would demonstrate the darker green of the crops that had received the compost. So development of food sources and water resources are high on the list of things that Church World Service supports.
And let me repeat again, people who would like to walk on the crop walk next week, April 2nd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, can gather at St. Peter's UCC. It's important to get sponsorship beforehand, and you can get the paperwork necessary by calling the event coordinator, who is one of our guests today, Esther Portnoy, 217-367-8853.
Maybe I should emphasize that it's perhaps not such a good idea simply to show up at St. Peter's, especially for young people. We do need to have a waiver signed by a guardian for anyone who's under 18. If an adult shows up and wants to walk on the spot, we can deal with that. But if a young person comes and doesn't have that signature, we have a problem.
So it's important for people to call you first.
I think that's probably the good idea.
Get the paperwork. I'll repeat
We can sign up sponsors after the fact, actually.
Okay. Let me repeat the phone number so people can get that necessary paperwork, 367-8853 for Esther. And Kurt, you're the treasurer of this group. How has the money gone over the years? Your goal for is $26,000 for this year. What did you start with back when the crop walk began? You were there at the start.
Oh, I didn't bring those figures, but I think it was something between $6,000 or $7,000. Mm-hmm. And
so it's
probably 12 or 15 churches involved. Mm-hmm. I have the figures for the last few years, and since 2001, we have gone over $20,000 every year, $110,000 in the last 5 years. We have 250 to 300 walkers somewhere. Well, last year we had 19. I think we've had close to 25 different congregations walking with us. So it's a great time to get out and meet people of a different faith. As you walk with them over this 6-mile route, you get to know new friends, or you can walk with old friends that you haven't seen because you belong to different churches.
And for some of us who whose knees are giving out and aren't going to do the walk, we can still contribute by sponsoring a walker and pledging a certain total amount or so much per mile?
We just ask people to pledge a certain amount. We don't check off the miles.
And what are the lowest amounts you get and the highest?
We have gotten, as I look over the figures that the various recruiters turn in, there are people that have contributed $1. Maybe this is when they've gone to youth groups and so forth.
Sure.
And we have contributions of $200-$300 or so from some dedicated individuals.
So a person would make out a check to Church World Service?
Yeah, very simple, CWS/crop.
CWS/crop. And they can call you to make a contribution.
That would
to
be
find
fine.
If they don't know someone to sponsor, they
right.
can call you to find out how to mail in a contribution.
That would be fine, right?
Okay. We might also mention that we say the walk starts at 2 o'clock. That's when we would like to have
to
people
leave.
Start out the door. If they all show up at 2 o'clock, I'm not going to get them registered.
Okay.
Well, I have helpers. We have several people that aren't up to walking the route, but we'll be there, and we hope that we get that out of the way in time so that the walk can get off and you can do your walk and get home Of course, we won't have any trouble with the sun setting with daylight saving time.
That's right, daylight saving time. So get there, what are you asking people to come, 1:30, 1:15?
Oh.
Well, not before 1:30. Between 1:30 and 2, and grand mixer, meet your friends, as I said. And
We will have some gifts. Many of these walkathons, are sort of competitive, and they have a radio or something like that for the highest money raisers. We have gifts for perhaps the top 300 or so walkers.
Wonderful.
Hickory Point Bank has generously made a cash contribution so that we can go out and buy things. I don't know what the gifts are. I wasn't on the shopping spree. I do know we have many, many balloons. So anybody who wants a balloon can have several, probably. Perhaps we should mention that every penny that the sponsors put on these walk sheets does go directly to Church World Service and these local charities. We don't take any of that money out for our local expenses.
So local expenses, people donate specifically for that purpose.
Well, we haven't gone looking, except for the corporate sponsors like Hickory Point. We sell T-shirts and tote bags and caps, like the one Kurt is wearing.
Kurt is wearing a very handsome T-shirt.
Right.
We walk because they walk, crop walk. And a picture of someone in some Asian country, it looks like, carrying buckets of water on their shoulders.
Yes, we have raised money through selling the T-shirts, caps, and tote bags. And that money has paid for our local expenses. We make a little profit on each sale. And we have had several hundred dollars over and above that has been sent off to Church World Service.
We're talking with two volunteers, Esther Portnoy and Kurt Wilson. If I were being formal, I would refer to them as professor and doctor and that sort of thing, but we're being very casual today. But it shows that the type of people who do choose, because of their ethical stance, to do something to be helpful to world hunger and poverty. Let's talk a little bit about the situation with world hunger. Probably 25 years ago, I remember going to a conference on world hunger, and at the time, the scientists were telling people at this conference that there was enough food to feed everyone around the world, not a meat diet, but at least a vegetarian diet, but that the world population was increasing so fast at that time, 25 years ago, that it didn't look likely that that was going to continue to be true. Plus, there was the fact even then, 25 or 30 years ago, that the political will wasn't there to find ways to distribute the food equally and evenly. And so there were huge pockets of hunger around the world then. And since that time, the world population has increased by 1.5 billion or so. We're now at, over 6 billion people in the world. What is the situation for world hunger now? Is there enough food because of the Green Revolution and things in agronomy in your field, Kurt, that have produced more food? Is there still enough food if it were distributed better?
Well, there would be, especially if we didn't all insist on a high meat diet. But yes, I think the figures that I have read would indicate that there are not as many hungry people as there were 20 or 25 years ago, but the number is still very large. I don't know that it has dropped a great deal because of this increasing population. And there are these areas, Africa in particular is an area that is being hit not just by the problems of drought and poor soils, but AIDS, which is hitting the productive age groups of these countries very hard, so that it's very difficult for them to pull themselves up by the bootstraps because, well, a lot of them don't have any bootstraps.
And there's a particular problem in Africa of childhood malnutrition.
Yes. And, of course, the other thing is that in many of these societies, the women are not making the contribution that they should to the well-being. That doesn't mean they aren't working hard, but they are not given the resources to do the things that they can do to contribute to the nutrition of their children. We heard in India that the women were describing to the women in our group how they got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to begin work on the house, preparing breakfast. The men went out. They had work to do all day. They didn't even have time to take their children to the clinics because of this. But I think Church World Service is trying to help. We had in India, some of the workers were the young women that went out to encourage the women to associate, to work on projects that would bring in money that they could plow back into their families.
Certainly in the United States, hunger is associated with poverty. We don't have these killing droughts and things of that sort. And yet here in the United States, where there certainly is adequate food, 1 in 10 families are at risk, don't always have enough to meet their basic food needs. 1 child in 5 in this country is born into a poverty household.
We have a laissez-faire free market capitalist society here, which means people are free to be hungry.
I guess so.
Church World Service is a way to try to get people who are in needs the necessary food and health supplies and other things to survive, to have a chance to get an education, to have a chance to make it out of poverty. Church World Service is organized by 36 different Protestant Christian denominations and also the Orthodox churches and the Anglican churches. The local crop walk is next Sunday, April 2nd, starting off from St. Peter's United Church of Christ Church, walking 10 kilometers, about 6 miles, hoping to raise $26,000 with 300 walkers who've gotten sponsors. If you'd like to find out about sponsoring a walker, making a contribution to Church World Service, call Esther Portnoy, one of our guests here today, 217-367-8853. The walk will be next Sunday, again, April 2. Daylight savings time starts then. How many local churches are involved that you think are sending groups, sending walkers?
About 16, 18, maybe 20.
Okay.
I should have.
Okay.
Totted them up.
All right. And people who are members of those congregations have probably heard about this opportunity, heard this morning, but in case people didn't, maybe you were traveling, maybe this radio program will be a reminder or perhaps news. Again, information is available at cu-cropwalk.org about the local crop walk here in Champaign-Urbana. People who are listening to this program outside of this area who would like to contribute directly can do that online at churchworldservice.org. If you don't have access to a computer, you can call to get information nationally, 1-888-CWS-CROP. Our guests today are Esther Portnoy, who's the local event coordinator for CROP, and Kurt Wilson, who is the treasurer. Kurt, you were around at the start. When did you start getting involved, Esther, at the local crop walk?
I'm not sure. It's been at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And you've walked each of those years?
I have walked every year. Last year, my husband and I were in Brussels. And on crop day, we set out a 10-kilometer route, and we walked, sent some money back here.
And Kurt, do you walk or do you take registrations?
Well, I usually take registration. Depending on how it goes, I sometimes have had time to walk a partial walk, but also we try to add up how much each church is bringing in. We post it, and there's a little rivalry between churches, especially those in the same denomination.
Friendly competition.
Yes, and we'd like them to beat each other in this competition.
Let me give the information one last time as we're about at the end of our program hour. We're talking about the Church World Service, a relief agency started originally by the National Council of Churches, but now CROP and Church World Service are a separate legal organization that raises this money nationally that's sent around the world to fight hunger and poverty. In Champaign-Urbana, the CROP Walk will be next Sunday, April 2nd, hoping to raise $26,000, hoping to have about 300 walkers. A quarter of the money that's raised will stay locally, helping four different social service agencies here in Champaign County area. If you'd like to contribute, or if you'd like to walk yourself and find others to sign up on your walk sheet, do call Esther Portnoy at 217-367-8853. The sooner the better, to give you time to find out about that. If you're under 18, you do need to get the permission from a parent or guardian to participate in the walk, but there are many young people who do that.
Yes, there are many.
That's easy to do. CU-CropWalk.org for local information, churchworldservice.org for information about the whole organization. I'd like to thank our guests for being with us today. They're volunteers at this. Each of them, Esther is a retired mathematician from the University of Illinois. Kurt is a retired biochemist, PhD biochemist, worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Agronomy. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. And next week, I have the pleasure of interviewing Lee Melhado, who is the director of the Jewish Federation of Champaign County, about the Jewish Passover celebration. That's April 2, the same day as the CROP Walk. On April 9, my guest will be Bill Meyer from Twin City Bible Church. He's one of the pastors there. He'll be talking about evangelical social action. On April 16, my guests will be two poets, Judith Valente and Charles Renard, and they'll be reading from their most recent book, 20 Poems to Nourish Your Soul. And on April 23rd, we'll be talking with representatives from the Program in the Study of Religion here at the University on the Bible in the schools.